streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
Being a chef means keeping your cool in the kitchen.
Pick up, pick up.
And with Resi Priority Notify and Global Dining Access through my Amex Platinum card,
right this way,
it's nice to try someone else's food for a change. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Tura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday on Fox Sports Radio at noon to 3 Eastern, 9 a.m. to noon Pacific. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Fox Sports Radio or FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
All right, here we go. It is a Monday, live in Los Angeles. It's the Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, thanks for making us part of your day. J-Mac, you know I was watching Jason Tatum, all the moves Saturday night. You were watching college basketball. I watched some of that as well. And, you know, I told you, Carolina, UConn are the two best teams. You're out here trying to find an 8 seed.
How good is it that all the top seeds advance? You got to love that, right? That's what you want.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in 12 seeds.
Tournament numbers did really well over the weekend.
All
right. Big ratings.
There we go. So let's start with this. There's very little great anywhere. Think about how many leagues there are in basketball in the world. In America, there's AAU, there's high school, there's college, there's 360 Division I schools. Increasingly, basketball is global. It comes from everywhere. But there are still very few stars, very few difference makers. Steph Curry had 31 last night. They have to constantly play him now. Because think about this. The Warriors lost last night. They're in jeopardy of not making the playoffs. The only consistent scorer on the team, Steph Curry, had 31 last night. Second on the team was Klay Thompson with 16. So since 2009 until today, the Warriors have drafted 22 players. They've also acquired and traded for another dozen, minimum. Yet today, only one Warrior can consistently get a great shot anytime he wants and give you 27 a night. One, and that is Steph Curry. I'm at a Celtics-Bulls game Saturday, courtside. Jason Tatum's the only player on the floor that could get a great shot every time down the floor. DeMar DeRozan can get a good shot most times down the floor, but not a great shot. He's not talented enough, and he's really talented. It's why dynasties happen in the NBA. It's why when Denver wins again or Boston continues to dominate the East, people complain about officiating. It's not officiating, it's your roster. Steph Curry, since 2009, there have been moments KD was there, Klay in his prime, but overwhelmingly, if Steph can't get his great shots and doesn't have a great night, they don't win. This year, they're 1-5 without him. Very few elite anything, and increasingly in the NBA, the stars, the real difference makers, are all international. I don't have a problem with it, but that's the reality, because our AAU system is kind of a mess. But the Warriors, consider this, are smartly coached, brilliantly coached. They've had excellent general managers, good overseas scouting. It's full of smart people. And when Steph's not on the floor six times this year, they're 1-5. And increasingly, he has to play the entire fourth quarter. And they do it well. They're well run. Totally dependent on Steph. Michael Jordan left the Bulls 26 years ago. They have 5 playoff series wins total in 26 years. So the Denver Nuggets currently have the best player in the NBA. And the Boston Celtics, they didn't even play 3 of their starters Saturday night, still beat the Bulls. Boston has the deepest roster in the NBA and probably, arguably, one of the most athletic. And they're both going to reach the finals. Boston is easily going to cruise through the East. I doubt they even get pushed to a game 6. And then there's Denver. West is better, but they'll win. Don't complain about the refs. Don't complain about it's rigged. Don't complain about the NBA. The Golden State Warriors are well-run, smartly coached, brilliant people upstairs. And they can depend on one guy with 22 draft picks since 2009. They have nice players. The Bulls and Celtics have nice players. I mean, watching the Celtics, Al Horford was hotter than any member of the Chicago Bulls, and the Bulls have some players I like. Don't blame the league or the refs. Blame your roster. Blame AAU basketball. Blame a lot of people. But the Warriors and Steph, they're solely dependent on him, and it's probably their undoing. Here's Steve Kerr after.
We can't expect to just ride Steph game after game after game. You know, these last few weeks have been really tough on him. We've put the burden of this franchise on his shoulders for 15 years. We can't expect him to play 35 minutes. If you want to say that him playing 30 minutes instead of 32 was a difference in the win and the loss, I totally disagree with that. And we're trying to win the game. We're trying to keep him fresh, too.
Meanwhile, women's college basketball, Caitlin Clark is really, for women's college basketball, it's a superstar. And women's college basketball ratings are the highest they've, I think, ever been. So she claimed fans are more excited for women's basketball than men's basketball, and I haven't seen the ratings, but women's college basketball is on fire, mostly because of Caitlin Clark, but also because of other things. That American sports fans, increasingly distracted, are drawn to stars. You say you love the game. No, you don't. Just like movies, you love the stars. And the NFL is the only league in America which is not beholden to stars. Jacksonville could play in the Super Bowl and 50 million Americans would watch. But today with women's college basketball, you have 3 legit stars. Caitlin Clark at Iowa, Angel Reese at LSU, and Juju Watkins at USC. And men's college basketball doesn't have one. Part of this is because women's college stars stay in school for 4 years. It's not a turnstile. Right now, men's college basketball is literally too mobile, too transient. Folks, 11 of the top 13 grossing movies of all times are sequels or remakes. We crave, we seek, we need a connection. Something, some theme, some plot, some team, some player we know. 11 of 13. James Cameron's got the other two. So if you're a sports fan, if I walked up to a sports fan in America in Cincinnati and said, give me the 2 best players for UConn, there is a good chance that that sports fan would give me a blank stare. But if I said, who's the most exciting women's basketball player, that person, man or woman, would probably know of Caitlin Clark. Star power matters. And I'm for player empowerment, and I'm for mobility. You know that. I defend LeBron, Kevin Durant, players moving all the time. But you can be too mobile. I like ice cream. It shouldn't be given to kids at breakfast. Right? College basketball is too transient, too much movement. People like sequels. People with iPhones are more distracted, and women's college basketball is giving us memorable, connectable, predictable, excellent stars over and over and over again. If you go to these mock drafts, the top 15 players in this NBA draft, only one is a college basketball upperclassman. One of 15. It's freshmen. It's G Leaguers. It's international. All very, very talented. But there's a reason women's college basketball is absolutely crushing it. Caitlin Clark on the power of this year's women's tournament.
People are more excited about the women's side than the men's side, and I think that's obviously something that's really never been the case before, and it's cool to see how it's evolved. Like, when I first started this when I was a freshman, like, we couldn't even use the March Madness branding, and now to see this, and really it's just taken a whole nother level, and I expect it to continue to grow this year.
It also matters the type of stars. Angel Reese, Caitlin Clark are outspoken. They get feisty. You know, they'll do a little trash talk. I think that's a huge part of it, that there is something to be said about highly resilient, highly competitive athletes. We like our athletes to have a little chip on their shoulder, a little move, a little swag. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese have that, but good for women's basketball. And it's not shame on men's basketball. It's just the culture. The AAU system is broke. The international system at the younger levels is much better than ours. And increasingly, the NBA will be driven by NBA stars, not college kids. One of 15 of the top players picked is a college upperclassman, which is interesting because the sport now is being dominated not by the Kentucky one-and-done salesmanship, but by upperclassmen-dominated teams, guys mostly not good enough to make an impact in the NBA. And so, J-Mac, that's what's interesting. UConn, I always go with favorites, but once again, we're left with favorites. There's a big gap between, you know, San Diego State and a Yale. I think Yale's a good story, a San Diego State, UConn, Carolina. I mean, UConn, Carolina are blowing everybody out.
I mean, it's not even fun for those teams. It's boring to watch. It's over in the first 5 minutes. But I love Caitlin Clark. I'm excited for Iowa, but I challenge anybody to tell me who they played in the first round and how that game went. Like, the first round of the men's NCAA tournament is a totally different animal than the women's tournament. Like, yeah, the first round, the 4 days, is everything. So I disagree with Caitlin Clark here, but I do agree with her that there's excitement for her game, right? They play today, people are excited, but it's only like a handful of teams people care about.
Well, I would say through the years, you're probably right, but I would say there's about six college programs, Kansas, Kentucky, Arizona, UConn, Duke, Carolina, maybe a Michigan State, which really move ratings. Those are kind of star coaches, star programs. Syracuse with Boeheim, I think, did that for a long time. But there's not a lot of men's programs, so it's okay. You know, for my entire life, it was Pat Summitt in Tennessee, and then Gino Auriemma and UConn. I mean, there's been one or two. I'd say there's fewer star women's basketball programs, but there's clearly, because of the cultural shifts in men's basketball, the difference between the men and women is never been thinner. I mean, if you put Caitlin Clark on and you could put Duke on the other channel, they're both getting numbers.
Certainly, no doubt. But have you looked at the spreads for the Sweet 16 on the men's side? They're all, like, very close. These games are going to be phenomenal. Duke is going to be the big one to watch. They're in, I believe it's in Dallas against Houston.
I'll take Houston.
Thank you. We have Houston.
Yeah, yes. I'll take, and the Jim Nance story is great. I'm going to take Houston in that one.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hi, it's The Herd. The NBA playoffs are heating up, and so is the action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. It's easy, 90 seconds. Use the code HERD, H-E-R-D. That's code HERD for new customers to get 150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Only on DraftKings, the crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or in West Virginia, visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling, Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.co/bball for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So the NFL is having its league meetings out in Florida. And we've talked about this on the show very times. It doesn't matter if it's Major League Baseball or it's the NFL or it's the NBA. You get these dynasties from time to time. And then even the dynasties, like the Patriots dynasty, will have a down year. Tom Brady gets hurt. Remember that year Matt Castle came in? This year, Kansas City was really vulnerable because of their youth. They had a really bad wide receiving core. They just didn't score many points all year. That's with Andy Reid, Mahomes, Travis Kelce. They were averaging like 17 a game. They were totally vulnerable, and Buffalo couldn't take advantage. Everything worked in Buffalo's favor. So their coach, Sean McDermott, at the NFL League meeting said it's very narrow-minded to say the Bills haven't been successful. But I would ask you this. Do you think the Bills owner and general manager are happy with how last season ended? I'd say no. When Josh Allen's your quarterback, everything changes, especially when Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson the last couple of years have struggled to stay healthy. Josh Allen has the highest winning percentage of any quarterback in the NFL without a Super Bowl appearance since the late 60s. It's becoming a problem. And last season, everything worked in Buffalo's favor. Because of their youth, Kansas City's offense was its weakest ever. Joe Burrow got hurt. Aaron Rodgers in the AFC got hurt. Deshaun Watson in the AFC got hurt. Trevor Lawrence got hurt. Justin Herbert's coach was over his skis. Russell Wilson, Sean Payton didn't do anything. And you had home field advantage over Kansas City. So yes, you underachieve. You let Josh Allen down last year. That's not narrow-minded. Next year, Deshaun Watson's back. Aaron Rodgers is back. Justin Herbert, oh, he's got Jim Harbaugh. Miami, they're going to be good again. Another year, Mike McDaniels and Tua. And here comes C.J. Stroud. He looks like an elite quarterback. So Josh Allen has been in the NFL six seasons. His playoff record is 500. And only one quarterback in this sport in 6 years has more total touchdowns, and that's Mahomes. And Mahomes has had a better run game consistently, and he has got a better head coach from the offensive side. So let's not make this into us. Let's make this into you. John Calipari tried this last week. This is a you issue. It's not an us issue. It's not a scheme issue or a players issue. It's a head coaching issue. It is not narrow-minded. Josh Allen has the best winning percentage in this league's history since the late 60s without a Super Bowl appearance. J-Mac with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
So Jerry Jones told the media back in January the Cowboys were going to be all in, Colin, and we're still not seeing that in free agency. Nothing's happening. Dallas has been very quiet,
yeah,
leading many to question Jerry's statement. He looked to clarify things, saying, "We get to be the world champion of how it works when you don't have as much money. But make no mistake about it, with every tool we got, we're all in." Big time word salad from Jerry Jones there. I don't know. It sounds like he's blaming Dak kind of here.
No, I think we just have to acknowledge they have hit their ceiling. I'm okay with it. As long as everybody, you know, happiness is connected to expectations. It's when you start expecting things. Now, Dallas does some things well. They spend more money on offense than defense. I like that. I think they should, in this draft, pay attention to offense, receivers, another tight end, another back, not defense. But when you're up against the cap and don't make any moves in free agency, there's this feeling that free agency is overrated. No, it's not. The Bears got Keenan Allen, Gerald Everett, and DeAndre Swift for Caleb Williams. That's not overrated. Those are very productive, dependable NFL veteran players. Swift's kind of young. So I just, my take on Dallas is I'm never frustrated with the Cowboys because I don't have high expectations, and I think it's ridiculous if you pay a quarterback top three in the league and he's good, not great. This is what you are.
So you say kind of maxed out, right?
12, yeah, I think
12,
this is
12 wins, 3 years
I think they're going to be a really, really good regular season team. Last year was a good year to crush. Green Bay and Detroit are still young. Well, Detroit's no longer young next year. Brock Purdy's no longer a young quarterback. He'll now have NFL reps of note. And Green Bay will still be young, but they just housed you at your place. So last year, like the Bills, last year was a great year for the Cowboys to take advantage of it. They got the wrong coaches in Philadelphia, so they went sideways the last 8 weeks. Green Bay's got a bunch of kids. Detroit's got kids, little older kids. And San Francisco still has a young quarterback, Purdy. And the Rams were in a rebuild. Well, the Rams are no longer in a rebuild.
Well, Aaron Donald's gone. I don't know. I mean, are there that many teams better than Dallas? But for sure.
But last year was the year where Detroit and Green Bay, you were like, oh, they're good, but they're just too young.
You're right.
They're not going to be that young anymore.
So, I don't see why Dallas can't win 12. The NFC is not great, Colin.
I think
top to bottom.
I think it's going to be. You and I disagree.
Are the Rams better next year? Or
absolutely.
How? They lost a generational defensive player.
But they're also, offensively, they have 11 picks. And their scouting department hits a lot of home runs last year. Do you think they're going to add 6 players to both sides that can play? I mean, this draft, the great thing about the NFL is the draft gives you starting players who can be highly productive.
Okay,
this is not the NBA draft or the baseball draft.
Are the Eagles going to be as good next year?
They'll be better just simply because they can't be worse at coordinator.
Yeah.
So they should be better, and I think Saquon Barkley ensures that.
And the Lions will be better as well?
Absolutely, and Green Bay should be significantly better, and the Rams will be better. Although, I don't know what to do with their defense. I can tell you this, of their first 4 picks, 3 are probably defensive players in the trenches. I mean, they're going to absolutely attack this. I think they were anyway, because they knew Aaron. I mean, they had a sense last year it may be it. And they hit on 2 defensive linemen last year.
Are the Niners better or worse?
I think they peaked. I think they are what they are, which is really good.
Wow. So you've got a chaotic NFC.
I think the NFC power, it will be much more even. I think the last 2 years, clearly the AFC was better. I think this year, the NFC, I think Detroit and Green Bay are top 5 teams. Absolutely.
In the league.
In the entire league. I think they're both better than Buffalo.
Okay.
And with offensive coaches, Buffalo has a defense.
Are they better than the Bengals and Chargers?
We'll see.
Next up, the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, geez. I'm already sick of talking about their quarterback room, Colin. It's Russell Wilson, Justin Fields, and are they going to be good? Who's the starter come Halloween? Despite rumblings of a quarterback by committee, Mike Tomlin addressed who he sees as the number one QB at the NFL league meetings. Here's what he had to say.
His experience in the National Football League, his process that's been honed and perfected. Russell has those resources, man, that structure. And so that's why I say he has pole position, man. It just creates a synergy that I think is good for this time of year.
That's right. What he said is right.
He didn't call him the starter.
Well, he has a defined structure. This is what we said. Justin Fields is figuring out how to play the position. He's a startup business. whether you think Russell Wilson's the eye of Silicon Valley, right? Like, you know that he knows his business. Russell's been doing this now for 10, 12 years. He knows how to play quarterback. Justin Fields is figuring out the position at the pro level.
Okay. So if Justin Fields is a startup, can I say that Russell Wilson's like a paper company in Pennsylvania, like The Office or something, with Michael Scott? I don't know. It feels like they're fading. Like, a lot of people out on Russ. People calling him washed. I don't know.
He's not washed.
As there are two business owners sitting here on the show right now. I'm all in, always, on businesses and small businesses.
Yeah.
This wording of pole position just means he has the inside track. That does not, to me, say he's the lock starter.
So think about this. When Justin Fields was getting all the snaps in Chicago, all the attention was him. He struggled. When you're the backup getting 1/5 of the snaps, you're not getting the attention, the tutoring and the coaching. I think he's going to improve. I mean, in Chicago, they were absolutely trying to make it work, because if it had worked this year, let's say he had a 7-8 game stretch post-Thanksgiving and they could move the Caleb pick for 9 picks. Chicago wanted Justin Fields to work. They, not coddled, but they basically put all their resources into making Justin Fields work. And it didn't. And now he's a backup in Pittsburgh. You think he's going to get that kind of tutoring, attention, and coaching? No.
I don't know. You could argue that Sean Payton tried like hell to make it work with Russell Wilson.
And if you look at the numbers, it worked to the level Russell's capable of working. It was B some games, B plus. And that's fine.
Well, Fields had a couple B plus games.
Maybe a couple, yeah, in 15 starts.
I don't think the gap is as wide as you do. I think it's a little closer. Again,
that's our disagreement. That's our disagreement. I think Russell is clearly a more refined, finished product. And I think at this point, Justin Fields is more talented than Zach Wilson. But I basically don't know what I get half to half.
Well, I'll say this. Neither of these guys had a robust market, right?
That's
Russell
true.
Wilson, hey, he was on, you could have had him on the cheap, right? A penny stock.
I'm not.
And who wanted it? Like, there wasn't like teams fighting over women and children to grab Russell Wilson.
No, that's totally fair.
And Justin Fields, you know, we allegedly 4 other teams were interested.
I don't know if it's untrue.
Last point. There is, we've talked about this a lot, the cool factor at quarterback, the alpha, walks into the lunchroom, everybody wants to sit with him and hang with him.
Yeah.
We've heard enough stories about Russ that he's not been that guy. The guy, listen to how the kids in Chicago talked about Fields. So many guys going to the podium. We want Fields. He's our quarterback. I don't know why we'd move off him.
You know who else everybody loves? Him. Drew Locke.
Well, come on.
The cool factor to me is like, are you a winning leader?
Okay, maybe cool wasn't the right word, but like, leader in the locker room. When he walks in, everybody kind of gathers around and he's that dude. We've heard, Trent Dilfer's been on the show talking about this thing for years.
I'll push back on the, I think what matters in the league is winning. Andrew Luck was the opposite of cool.
Yeah, no, for sure. But in a situation like this, where it's Russ who can be polarizing, and Justin Fields, who's like kind of a cool big dog, people really like him. The guys in Chicago loved him. I'm just be careful. There could be a divide in Pittsburgh. Right. There's our quarterback drama in the offseason.
Well,
right?
No, I think it's legitimate. I think Russell's the clear one, but I think your point is real, that I think Justin is the classic, you know, Cam Newton could struggle, but there was something about Cam in the locker room that players loved. And I've seen this before, where you get a guy that he's just kind of loose. Jay Cutler. Jay Cutler had a lot of buddies. Aaron Rodgers is sort of a cool guy. The way he throws, Aaron hasn't been that successful when it matters in big games in a lot of years. But Aaron's got ultimate loyalty, the it factor in the locker room. Jets love him, Packers love him. When's Aaron's last big playoff win? Jordan Love just had one in 1 year as the starter at Dallas. Hammered the Cowboys.
Well, we know this is a young league. Justin Fields walks in the locker room. Hey, guys, who's up for weekend? Let's Saturday night. Let's hit Pittsburgh. Let's tear it up. Let's have some fun. Russell Wilson's hanging out with his celebrity wife in the suburbs, 14-room mansion. They're not clubbing. I'm just saying, Fields is going to relate in
that
locker room.
So now my quarterback has to go clubbing?
No, it's a locker room thing. You know, as an athlete, you know, you'd know this. Anyways, let's move on to the Lakers. We got to wrap up with D'Angelo Russell. I mean, Lakers, again, I'm watching March Madness all around. So I look up and the Lakers have 150 points last night. I mean,
my daughter, an NBA scout, if she wanted to be, went to the game and said, "Dad, this officiating is totally uneven." She said the officiating.
That was her takeaway.
My daughter, her takeaway was Indiana's getting hosed on the officiating.
Mm.
And she, you know, my daughter, she, you know, she likes all the like.
I see 150 to 145, and I'm like, ooh, that's a fun game. Anyways, D'Angelo Russell had a good game. D'Angelo Russell did not play. It was Anthony Davis who had 36 and 16.
You know what? What's funny about Anthony Davis is I think you and I were on this, is that we thought he was really talented in New Orleans. His reputation was he was a little soft, didn't play through injuries, came to L.A. Initially, we're like, they get a title inside the bubble. And then for about a year and a half, dude could not stay healthy, would not play hurt. And I was just done with him. We got to be fair here. The last year, he's been unbelievable. I would argue, outside of Jokic and Giannis, he's been the best big in the league.
Hold up. Now,
Embiid's not healthy.
I'm not allowed to mention him on the show, but there's another guy who dominated Anthony Davis head-to-head.
Who?
He's on the beam lighting team. Domantas Sabonis? Oh, my gosh.
He can't shoot.
Owned Anthony Davis head-to-head. I don't think you can call AD the second-best center.
I said Jokic is the best center. Giannis is the most physically gifted. And then
Embiid.
Embiid's never healthy.
Fair. Anthony Davis is
going to take
healthy.
You're going to take Bam Adebayo over AD? AD is the best defensive player in the league.
Oh.
And on offense, 3 out of 4 nights, he dominates. He's a little less consistent.
AD's has been great this year.
The last year of AD, we have to be fair on this show. He had a year and a half stretch. I was done with him.
You play him against American centers, he eats him up. I mean, he's just
dominates. And unlike Embiid, he has pivoted to staying healthy, whether it's diet, work, whatever it is. I think he doesn't quite slash as much. Maybe that's it because he didn't hit the floor as much. But AD has had a great year and a half.
You know, I don't know if the audience noticed when you opened the show talking about the Warriors in danger, you didn't mention the team that's creeping up on them. Houston Rockets, if they take that seed, for the 10 seed, from the Warriors and the Rockets play the Lakers, that's a great matchup for the Lakers.
Oh, they'll hammer Houston.
Yeah.
Bunch of kids.
Well, remember who gave out Houston as a team on the rise, team total?
No, they've got a zillion young players. Yeah. I'm not doubting they're fun to watch. Houston's fun to watch. They play fast.
They're a good team. Now, but the Lakers will beat them. Colin, Lakers, though, in that play-in game to get the 8 seed, if it's against the Kings or the Mavs or the Suns, they're in deep trouble. And Lakers could miss the playoffs. They're not a lock to make the playoffs.
Well, think about this. And you and I both really like the NBA. Like, we both watch the NBA. So we're kind of an NFL, college football, NBA show.
March Madness, too.
I watched it, by the way, Saturday. I spent 3.5 hours in front of a TV.
USA-Mexico soccer? You watch that game?
I watched it on a second TV. Yes, I did. But I would say this. Is that the NBA, as we talked about to start the show, is still kind of beholden to its domestic stars. It needs Tatum in the playoffs, Steph in the playoffs, LeBron in the playoffs. And that's nothing against Houston or Light the Beam or all these teams. That's why I've said, when New York didn't make a move at the trade deadline, because I think Jalen Brunson has some TV play. I think people like when the Knicks are good.
Knicks, yeah.
The NBA could really use the Knicks getting another star. They could really use it. Because I think if LeBron and Steph do not make the playoffs, you and I are diehards. We watch a lot of basketball. Denver is not, it's not a national team yet. They're like San Antonio with Duncan. You know they're great. You don't resent them.
But what about Luke? Can Luka and Kyrie carry the torch for
I
the
think
West?
Luka and Kyrie are interesting because they're both kind of polarizing.
Exactly. They're in that LeBron.
No, I think Luka and Kyrie are, and they're both absolutely offensively gifted. I mean, like next level gifted.
Wembanyama is no. He's been,
yeah, no, not
10 wins.
J-Mac with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Lie News.
You know what is really amazing in college basketball when I watch it? It's being dominated on the men's side by junior dominated teams. And Calipari's doing all this one-and-done stuff, so it's a bunch of 18-year-olds against 22-year-olds. But isn't it amazing how good Gonzaga is year after year after year? Little Spokane, Washington, small conference. I mean, there's no players up there. They don't have any players, you know, in their area code or in their state. They have maybe one or two guys they can recruit. I'm always amazed. Like, why is Arizona been good since the mid-80s? They've had 4 or 5 different coaches. Why? Why is, now, you could say Gonzaga's good because of Mark Few, the coach, and the system. But like Arizona, to me, it's what's great about college basketball. Duke was great forever because of Krzyzewski. And then Carolina's got, in my opinion, probably the biggest brand in my life, from Dean Smith to Roy Williams. And Carolina's always good. Same with Kansas, Roy Williams, Bill Self, the power of coaches. But Arizona's, why would Little Tucson, Arizona be this great? They've had multiple coaches. They've had controversy. I can't think of a four-year stretch they've been bad since the mid-'80s. Started with Lute Olson. Now they've got, but it's just like, what's fascinating about college sports is why certain programs, I mean, Arizona doesn't have a lot of money. They're in debt. Why are they always so good?
You want me to tell? Okay, so this is a theory. I forget which NBA player told me this. So when former NBA and NFL players retire, they love to go to Arizona because of the weather and the taxes.
Yeah.
Well, guess what? They end up having kids. A lot of them are former athletes, yeah. And now they're growing up in the Arizona area.
Yeah.
They're high school players, and they want to stay in state and go to Arizona. So Arizona for like two decades has been really, really good.
I mean, they're not rich. It's not a rich state like a Connecticut with UConn. Or it's, I mean, even UConn, you can make an argument. Calhoun, Kevin Ali, Hurley. They just keep winning national championships.
UConn,
there's no players in Connecticut. I was there. Stores is like out in the farms next to cows, the middle of nothing. Why is Connecticut always this good? Why? I mean, they've had different. Now, Jim Calhoun's the most underrated coach in college basketball history. Go ask Mike Krzyzewski who gave him trouble. It was Jim Calhoun and UConn. It wasn't always Carolina. It wasn't always Syracuse. It was UConn. But I'm always fascinated. Why is Storrs, Connecticut, UConn always this good? Why is Tucson, Arizona? I get Duke and Krzyzewski. I get Kansas, Wilt Chamberlain. Like the basketball was invented, created, yeah. James Naismith. Carolina's a factory. They had one of the first big arenas. So they're, the money they had pouring into that basketball, plus Michael Jordan went there. Like I get some star programs, Boeheim, Syracuse. But little Arizona, UConn, Gonzaga, year after year, I turn on UConn, I'm like, they always just figure out ways to get into the Elite Eight.
You know, one of the states, New Jersey, has like some of the best high school basketball players right outside New York City. Yeah. And I worked at a newspaper in Jersey. Yeah. And every year, why isn't Rutgers any good? We've got some of the best athletes in the country in New Jersey, football and basketball, and they always stink.
Think
right
about,
outside New York City.
Well, look at Villanova. Villanova's this small school. How in the world is Villanova college basketball power for most of my life? No. How is that possible? It's the power of Jay Wright, Rolly Massimino, the commitment by the administrators, absolutely having a brand and knowing how to recruit that D.C. area very well. I mean, a lot of it's the power of Rolly, and Rolly's favorite assistant ever was Jay Wright. Yeah. It's the power of personality, the power of coaches. But I'm always fascinated. There's certain things in this world that we live in, like baseball is all about money. You can't, the Dodgers money, the Braves money, Houston money, New York money. It's just bigger. Kansas City, Cincinnati struggle to compete. In college basketball, I'm almost fascinated by why Little UConn, Arizona, Gonzaga, sometimes it's just the coach, but then in Arizona and UConn have been multiple coaches.
You said the word brand, Colin. I know this is going to sound buzzy, but brand and culture are two things that you can build and develop. And even in the NFL, we see this. Pittsburgh Steelers, you know what their brand is. It's been that way for three decades.
Yeah.
Villanova, you know their brand and their culture. Some of these other schools, it's tough to
develop.
But
I feel like Pittsburgh Steelers aren't really a Super Bowl threat. And they always have one or two or three coaches. UConn, Arizona, they go through coaches. It doesn't matter. Now, it's been a while since Arizona won a title, but being in Connecticut, I was always fascinated when I went to Storrs, Connecticut. I'm like, how is this a power?
Who's coming here?
Who's coming here? And they just, I've said before, I don't think you have to sit and watch college basketball all day to figure out who's good. There are very few great players now in college, very few great players or teams. The two best teams I saw, UConn was the best team I saw. I saw them play two or three times. The second best team I saw this year was North Carolina. They're both blowing out everybody, and I think they'll continue to do so. But I'm always fascinated by that part of college basketball. Wouldn't you think USC, UCLA every year are dominant? It's LA.
Yeah.
They're the two biggest brands. We have Mick Cronin on later. And, you know, it's funny how Gonzaga in Spokane can be consistently greater than these big city teams. Shouldn't St. John's be better?
Oh.
You're New York City.
Yeah.
If you said, okay, you can have a basketball program in college, where do you want to start? New York City or Spokane? And the Spokane school crushes year after year after year. Yeah.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, gang, this is Jay Glazer, host of Unbreakable, a mental wealth podcast. And every week, we will have on leaders from sports, entertainment, like Sean McVay, Lindsey Vonn, Michael Phelps, David Spade, Guy Fieri, and also those who can help us in between the ears. Anyone from a therapist to someone like Ed Milet or John Gordon. We've all been through some sort of adversity. To get to the top, we've all used different tools. Listen to Unbreakable with Jay Glazer and Mental Wealth Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
Western nations like the U.S. and Europe.
Mexico will likely have its first female president.
And then you have China.
And help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters.
He'll get his yo-yos to Europe in time. But the longer this drags on, the more worry he's getting.
They knew that they needed to do this as fast as they possibly could to get a drug on the market as fast as they could.
I'm David Gura.
I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen. We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets.
Basically, everyone was expecting, if not a calamity, certainly a recession.
But the problem is that that paperwork, as our reporting showed, is fake.
As someone who's covering the market, I'm often very worried about an imminent collapse. So I'm thinking about it quite often.
Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.
This weekend, pro football is back on Fox as the UFL kicks off on Saturday with the USFL champion Birmingham Stallions taking on the XFL champion Arlington Renegades. And kickoff weekend continues Sunday on ESPN.
So I have mostly defended Deion Sanders. He talks a good game and was a great player, but he said something last week in a podcast that was sort of eye-opening. He said his son Shadur Sanders, a good college quarterback, and Travis Hunter, a really talented receiver corner, but he'll be a corner in the NFL, could pull an Eli Manning and tell teams, pass, I'm not interested. So first of all, Travis Hunter as a corner is not going to tell any team anything. You just get drafted as a corner. It's not that crucial a position. Many people overspend for corners. There are corners who are excellent on bad teams all through the league. No corner is telling NFL teams no thanks. Total turnoff to the league. He'll bounce to the second or third round if that's kind of the side he takes. And that's what Deion is saying. It's not what Travis Hunter has said. In terms of Shadur Sanders, I think he's a really good college quarterback. I think you can make an argument he would be the second or third guy drafted this year. But he's not John Elway, who's the best college quarterback prospect ever. That's why we still reference him. And Eli Manning, by the way, the Manning family is like the royal family of American quarterbacking. And secondly, Peyton Manning was an MVP the year before that. So many people saw Eli Manning's brother dominating and thinking, we got ourselves another Peyton Manning in college football. So Shadur Sanders is very talented, but let me give you a comp with Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams is a much better prospect than Shadur Sanders, and I like Shadur. But Caleb Williams, the last 2 years at USC, in a total rebuild like Colorado, has had two bad offensive lines and one star receiver. Caleb Williams produced the number one offense in college football with 72 passing touchdowns, 10 picks, and 21 rushing touchdowns. So 93 total touchdowns in 2 years with bad O-lines. Shadur Sanders, with a bad O-line this year in Colorado, had 6 touchdowns in his final 4 games. They are not close as prospects. Not close. And that is not to say that Shadur couldn't be arguably in the Jaden Daniels argument for third or fourth best quarterback this year. I'm not disputing that. But there is a massive gap between Caleb Williams and Drake May this year. A huge gap. When I talk to scouts, any NFL executive, they're all loving Drake May's traits, but concerned about his consistency, which is all over the map. So, you know, I think it's okay for Dion to say whatever he wants, but you have to have context. Caleb is a much better prospect. Elway's the greatest prospect ever, and Mannings are different. I mean, Mannings literally end up on our network Monday night football games doing a telecast. It's a different dynamic completely. And Peyton was the MVP the year before Eli Manning was going to get drafted. So obviously the feeling was, oh my God, the next great quarterback's Peyton. We got to get his brother, who was also kind of taking an average Ole Miss program at the time and winning games, a lot of games. So there you go. So I saw this over the course of the weekend. I'm going to spend more time on this. In fact, I'll do this next hour. J-Mac, we both like Dion. Your take on saying his two best players could pull an Eli.
So I got to be careful what I say. I did talk about this on my podcast, and I was harsher. I could say harsh stuff on there. I don't want to be too critical here. But I think Dion's doing a terrible disservice to his son a year out. And he's been now doing this for like 2 weeks. I don't want to go to him. He's not playing in the cold weather. Like, you can't be saying that stuff. Like, what are you narrowing it down to? I want him to go to this division.
I want him to
team.
Go to Miami or Arizona. Dallas is cold in the winter.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, if you want to draft Shadur Sanders, just know this. The coach instantly goes on the hot seat because Deion Sanders is going to be rumored to coach his son in the NFL, because I don't think that's ever happened, right? A guy coaching his kid in the league at quarterback? I can't recall that ever. But you know Deion is itching for that. And whichever coach drafts Shadur, just better be on notice that Deion's coming for your job.
Well, that's just also, how it's going to be. I mean, listen, just for leverage in negotiations with Colorado, Deion Sanders obviously would love an NFL rumor. But I think Shadur's talented. I'm not disputing that at all. But I think we're forgetting, a lot of people think Caleb Williams is the best quarterback prospect since Andrew Luck. Andrew Luck went to a horrible team and won 11 games in the AFC. During Brady and Manning and Ben Roethlisberger.
The first 3 years. Okay, Shadur Sanders, very good player. I like him, and I like player empowerment. But Colin, this is nonsense what Deion's doing right now.
Hour number two on a Monday. Good argument coming up next.
It's lunchtime at Tim Hortons, and we're serving up a special deal just for you. Our new $5.99 lunch deal includes your choice of any lunch sandwich and a side of crunchy kettle chips. Because what's lunch without a little crunch? And the sandwich choice is all yours. Like a ham and Swiss, Chipotle chicken wrap, BLT, and more. Made to order just the way you like it. Tim Hortons' new lunch deal. Simple, delicious, and just $5.99. Now that's a good deal. Only at your neighborhood Tim's. U.S. only. Price and participation vary. Terms apply.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge Challenge Podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.